Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:43 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is October 24th. Well, it's a big day today for China, but I'm at the National Association of Independent Money Managers in Dallas today, so I'm recording a little bit remotely. So I do apologize for any background noise you might hear, and I've encountered a couple of interesting people, but one thing that I thought was particularly interesting was commentary on the reduction of the Fed's balance sheet, which I will come to in a moment. But the Hang Seng was down heavy in here today. Now, China's market's accelerating lower, and acceleration's a trend ending. But we're not going to have confirmation that this is the low until we see an upward dynamic. Now, that might happen as soon as tomorrow, or it might happen a little bit later. But there's been a significant deterioration in prices. Now, there's a good reason for it. And it's also worth highlighting that the renminbi was also weaker in here today. So one thing that was abundantly clear from the Communist Party Congress over the weekend is there doesn't seem to be any new measures in place to support the economy or the housing market. There is a large number of US dollar bonds trading down to an average of about 10 cents on the dollar. A large number are still trending downwards. They're around the 20 cents on the dollar, so they've got further to go. And the renminbi is depreciating. Hu Jintao was escorted from the party congress on Saturday. Now, it was immediately assumed that he's well into his 80s, suffering perhaps from dementia or from Parkinson's. And but there wasn't anyone was able to get up off their seat and help him. And he was escorted by out of the building by two plainclothes people. And then Mrs. Tracy also highlighted the fact that when Deng took power, which is a number of decades ago, that Xi Jinping's father was escorted from the building. So the fact that this is also happening when Xi Jinping decides that he's going to take absolute power, he's basically mimicking what happened to his father. And this is just another indication that what he is looking for is absolute power. And it brings to the fore the big question. And that is, when will China remove the COVID zero policy? And it's looking increasingly likely that they might not. That one of the things that people were really concerned about 18 months ago in China was that Xi was bringing China down the road of isolationism, that he was intent on turning China into another North Korea, and that he was progressively going to cut off access for Chinese people to the outside world. And that trend is still underway. Now, one of the easiest ways to monitor it is via copper, because China's the predominant processor and consumer of the metal. And the share, or the price, I should say, was down again in here today. So we still have the sequence of lower rally highs. Now, prices really haven't gone anywhere for 3 months, but at the same time, it still has the sequence of lower rally highs. I know that people are really enthused about the possibility of a new secular bull market in commodities, but the big question then is demand going to remain robust from China in order to support prices when additional new sources of demand come to play? Instead, what we might be looking at is a transition period where prices go down first, then demand has to surge in the rest of the world to fund the broader, I guess, commodity boom for electrification, whether that's for transportation or for the wider infrastructure sector, or whether then we get the additional new signs of demand coming through with the absence of China. Of course, if Chinese demand were to return and they were to drop the COVID zero policies, then commodity prices really could go berserk. So there is rather a binary outcome to some of these determinations. So then let's look at some of the rest of Asia, because China's underperformance is going to have knock-on effects. With capital coming out of China, then India was in positive territory. Indonesia is also a market that was up in a dynamic manner last week and then followed through somewhat, but wasn't able to hold all the move in here today. Now let's look at the emerging markets ETF, because China is far and away the largest constituent of that index, and we are back in the region of the lows from 2020 and 2016. So this is a meaningful move already. Now, if we then just zoom out a bit and look at Europe, well, the strength of the dollar has been an inhibiting factor in people buying into Europe for most of the last 12 months, but the euro is steadying and coming back up towards parity. Now, it will at least need to sustain a move back above parity in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The pound, having rebounded in early trading, gave up the move. And we had a reasonably dynamic move in UK gilts as well. But this does look like more, I think, convincing evidence of a peak of near-term significance, at least of, I think, important enough to increase the potential that we're going to get a reversionary move back down towards that 3% level, by which time I would expect the 200-day moving average to be just about where the yield would be. Now, if yields do come down, that's going to be beneficial for stocks, and the FTSE 250 has steadied, and it has the potential to unwind this oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. Now, it's, I think, one of the unfortunate timing factors for Liz Truss was that she thought that she still had the same leeway from markets that Donald Trump had 6 years ago. The Trump tax cuts were massively pro-cyclical. And by the time we got around to the end of 2019, it did look like we were going to have a serious consolidation and potentially a recession. But then we had the pandemic and then this massive accommodation. And because then we started the ball rolling in terms of fiscal abuse with the Trump tax cuts, and then that was amplified during the pandemic with huge money put into the hands and pockets of consumers. Inflation went wild. And now the bond market just has no patience for that kind of activity any longer. So she was kicked out in very sharp order. Now they've got Rishi Sunak and Jeremy Hunt, two most powerful politicians in the UK, very much more technocratic, minded. And there's a strong likelihood then that what they're going to do is dial back spending, try to support the currency, get through this winter, and then start removing some of those price controls on energy. And of course, that is the best possible scenario. And I think that there is a betting chance that they might be able to achieve it because natural gas prices are coming lower. So the UK natural gas price was down in here today again. So we're back in the region of the lows from June and July. Now, we're still at levels that are multiples of where they were a couple of years ago. And the likelihood is that we are now in a new higher at plateau for natural gas prices. So I don't anticipate that prices are going to come back below 100. But to go from 183 to 100 is a big move. To come from 700 down to 100 is an even bigger move. And the reality is that the world is not short of natural gas. There's plenty of gas. It's what we have is a shortage of transportation infrastructure. So US natural gas prices are starting to steady from the short-term oversold and the region of the July low. And this does look like it has potential for a bounce, and not least because we've got a deep short-term oversold condition. But prices in Texas are probably going to go close to negative in here this week. And part of the reason for that is because the wind has been exceptionally strong. I was playing tennis over the weekend and I got absolutely annihilated, 6-1, 6-2, by a former University of Oklahoma football player because I could not get my act together with even a stiff breeze taking the ball. And he was certainly making a better deal of it than I was. And the reality is that Texas is an exceptionally windy place, and when the wind picks up, there's not nearly as much need for natural gas, and it tends to overflow. So it's not like Texas's natural gas production is peaking or that it's really deteriorating, but being able to export it is difficult, particularly after that Freeport explosion. What we're going to see over the next few years is significant investment in LNG export capacity and import capacity. But with EU natural gas prices coming down, then the price that some of the floating infrastructure can achieve isn't going to be quite as high. So Accelerated Energy paused today around the upper side of this 3-month range. Now, Apple is going to have its earnings this week. So I've been rather bearish of Apple, but the share is still holding on and around the 149 area. I think that we're going to see negative guidance, that it's a highly cyclical share, and that it's inevitable that before this bear market ends, Apple will have reverted all the way back down to the 200-day moving average. Then if we just zoom out and look at the Nasdaq, then we're still in a bearish environment overall, but we have a short-term oversold condition which is being unwound. And we're in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And that's been one of the primary topics of conversation in here over the last few hours at this conference is we're back in an area of potential support. So is this the low? Well, I rather hesitate to think it's the low because the size of the Fed's balance sheet is still contracting. Now, one of the things that people have been talking about is why hasn't the size of the Fed's balance sheet been coming down faster? Because lots of people are aware that they're selling $95 billion a month, or at least attempting to, and more than $60 billion of that is going to be bonds. So, if they're selling the bonds, why hasn't the size of the Fed's balance sheet been falling in a commensurate fashion? And the reason is because of tips. And one of the speakers in here today made a very compelling argument that that was the reason. And it makes sense because tip at the principal of tip bonds goes up when inflation rises. So, because we've had this surge in inflation, then the principal on the tips has been rising, and that increases the size of the Fed's balance sheet because the principal that they're holding goes up from those tips, and it's overwhelming the contraction in the balance sheet from the sale of short-dated treasuries. Now, that's not a permanent scenario, but it is something that is contributing to the slower pace of quantitative tightening. And we're just not yet at a place where they are ready to stop tightening. So I do think that we're going to be still in a volatile environment. I don't think that the ultimate low of this bear market is in, but we are getting a short-term oversold condition unwound. So then that's creating some demand, and I'll be willing to short into this rally. Gold, having put in an upside key reversal on Friday, did not follow through on the upside in here today. I also highlighted that there were three downside key reversals from the dollar index, and that was on Friday initiated by the intervention in the yen, which also did not get follow through in here today. So we're still in this rather volatile environment. There's a lot of trading going on where there are big decisions being made about how far can the dollar go? Are yields at these levels attractive enough to buy? Have stock market valuations improved enough to put money to work? And then on top of all of that, what can we ascertain from what's going on in China, and how much of an impact is that going to have on the wider world? I do think that the Chinese government are trying to manage the decompression of the bubble in property, and they're doing whatever they can to try and mitigate the impact of that on social cohesion and therefore party power. Oil prices remain locked in this very tight range, but this does look like a higher reaction low. So we could yet have some additional volatility, and we could have higher prices for energy, but we don't have them yet. And I still think that what we're seeing right now is some temporary steadiness in stock markets before we see some additional weakness later. And obviously, there's going to be some position taking ahead of the Fed meeting on November 2nd. And I suspect that whatever trend evolves into that event will be reversed following the announcement. And I think that I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.